But Philippians chapter 2, and before we read these few verses here, I'd like to ask you to join me as we make our confession together. The words are on the screen, and we invite you all to join in, even those of you wherever you may be online, and let's make our confession together. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Sound great. Philippians 2, beginning in verse 2. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Now, this prayer is written by one of the Lord's apostles, but it reveals the heart of God. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That verse 3, the end of that verse in one translation says it like this, where it says, let each esteem others better than himself. One translation says, in humility, value others above yourselves. In humility, value others above yourselves. And I just wanted to take those words this morning and let that be our focus. I hope this morning we go into the scripture and look at the example of Jesus. And it's just simply this: humility values others. Humility values others. Would you say that with me? Humility values others. It's important that we understand what humility is, because humility, I think, can be mistaken for weakness. Humility is not weakness. Humility is not putting yourself down, because that can still just be a focus on self. Humility is a Christ-like attitude that gives us an accurate view of God, an accurate view of ourselves, and an accurate view of others. So it comes from the Lord, helps us to see He's God, and we're not. And so we see ourselves in the right perspective. And then we can see others in the right perspective because we see Him. The Bible says, in your light, we see light. So humility values others. And then it says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, or a mindset. It's also translated, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, Messiah Jesus. We want to follow His example and model ourselves after Him. That's what it means to have that humbleness, a humility about us that is like Jesus. So it's a Christ-like attitude that gives us a proper perspective for God, for ourselves, and for others. Humility values others. And there are three ways that I believe we can, what Jesus did, how He valued us. But before I give those, I wanted to read just a few more verses here in this chapter because, well, let me just go ahead. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, or something he had to grasp onto. That's what the word equal actually means. In other words, though he is God the Son, he didn't think that, oh, I've got to hold onto my position. I can't lower myself. And he didn't have that attitude. He said that he, even though he's equal with God, verse 7, he made himself of no reputation and took the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, notice, and being found in appearance as a man. He came in a human body, but he wasn't just a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Notice that Christ's humility is linked to what he did for us on the cross. So just think about that. I was just even thinking about it just fresh this morning. The Bible says God has to humble himself to even look at the things that are on the earth, in heaven and earth. He has to humble himself to behold. But he didn't just humble himself to the point of, I'm going to see you. He humbled himself to the point of I'm going to suffer and die to reach you, because he valued us. Think about that. He valued us beyond measure. We cannot comprehend how much God values us. We can't put an earthly or human price tag on it. So humility values others, and he is our example. So the Lord wants us then to value one another. And then he goes on in verse 9, and he says this, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus he wasn't weak. Humility is not weak. He was strong enough to humble himself. He was secure enough. If you are familiar with how the devil tempted him, remember what he said to him? If you're the Son of God, if you're the, prove it. He didn't have to prove anything to the devil. He knew who he was. On the night he was betrayed, the Bible says, because he knew who he was, he could humble himself and wash his own followers' feet. So he was secure enough, he was strong enough, and he was loving enough to humble himself to die on the cross to pay for our sins. He suffered and died to bear our judgment, not our own. He was the only sinless one. And then he gives us three very practical ways. That's why I want you to turn back. In fact, would you go ahead and turn with me to Psalm 22? Psalms 22. Very practical and very specific ways of how Jesus valued us and then how we can value one another. Some of you are familiar with a pastor from years ago by the name of Charles Spurgeon. He wrote this about humility. He says, humility makes us ready to be blessed by the God of all grace. Because, you know, the Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humility makes us ready to be blessed by the God of all grace and fits us or prepares us to deal efficiently with our fellow man. So humility makes me a recipient of God's grace, which then helps me to deal better with one another, with others. And because y'all need grace to deal with me sometime, right? We need grace to deal with one another, and humility is the means of which we receive the grace of God to be more like him. So when Jesus suffered and died on the cross, he satisfied divine justice so that our sins are paid for. When he arose from the grave, he opened the way for us to be forgiven, for us to be adopted by God, for us to receive the power and victory he provided for us. It's not just that I'm forgiven. He wants to empower us through faith in him to live the life that he wants us to live right now as we're on the way to heaven. So Psalm 22, let me give you these three ways. I want to read just a few verses here because this psalm was written 1,000 years before Christ. And whereas in the Gospels, it'll say something like, they led Jesus away to be crucified. Doesn't really go into a lot of detail. This psalm goes into detail, and it's almost like, in fact, I'll say it this way. I believe it reveals what Jesus was thinking, feeling, and seeing as he was looking out from the cross, suffering and dying for our sins. Because Jesus made 7 statements from the cross, and they can either be found word for word, one of them, or the background for those statements from Psalm 22, 1,000 years before he came. And at that time, crucifixion wasn't even used as the real means of execution, but it accurately describes crucifixion. So Psalms 22, and the Bible says this, beginning in verse 6. If you think about Jesus speaking this from the cross, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. Think about that. He's looking out, looking at the people for whom he loves and he's dying for, and he says he's despised by the very ones he's trying to reach. Then he says in verse 7, all those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. Verse 14, I am poured out like water All my bones are out of joint. I understand that that the human body can become so weak, hung up on the cross and crucifixion, you'll actually, joints will start slipping out. Your body will kind of go slip out of joint. And he says, my heart is like wax. It is melted within me. And then verse 16, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. So he's looking out, and then he says this, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. What did Jesus say as he was seeing people do that? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. So the first way that Jesus valued us is forgiveness. That's humility. He humbled himself to value us to the point of forgiving us. So he sees people doing all this, and I'll give you the New Testament reference where it's fulfilled. Luke 23, you can stay right there in Psalms, but Luke 23, the Bible says this, verse 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Let me pause there a second. Don't you think they physically knew what they were doing? But I wonder if many times we do not realize the full extent and the full brunt of our sin against God, of what we do. I think, maybe we can excuse it and so forth, but Jesus recognized their need. He saw them, and it's not just maybe that he said it once. One translation says he kept saying it. And when I learned this when I went to the Holy Land, I know sometimes you picture the cross being up on a hill, and it may have been, but there was still ground around, and it may have been that instead of looking way up at the Lord on the cross and mocking him, they could have been right here. Hey, you're the Messiah, come save us, and we'll believe you. And they're mocking him, they're blaspheming him, and he's right, and he's looking out, and he just kept saying, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Spit on him, Father, forgive them. Mocking him, Father, forgive them. He just kept on, because forgiveness is not just a one-time deal, is it? So he kept on. Think about the love. Think about the value that he had for not just them, but for us, as he kept saying, Father, forgive them. And let's just make it personal. How many times have we been what we might call repeat offenders? Aren't you glad the Lord is a repeat forgiver? Thank you, Jesus, that you valued us that much. Humility values others to forgive. Humility values others. Would you say that with me? Humility values others. Forgiveness is the release of a debt. Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That again, one area right there is enough to let me know how much I need the Lord, how much I need grace. Because when we've been hurt, it's easy to hold on to it and to nurse that resentment and to go over it again and again and again in our mind, and where it can start to affect us not only emotionally, it can even, potentially affect us physically. But I think it's important to realize what forgiveness is not. It's not a feeling. Forgiveness is not an excuse for sin. Forgiveness does not mean all consequences are just done away with. If someone broke the law, maybe vandalized your property, you may not hold resentment against them. You can, by God's grace, might be able to forgive them, but they still need to pay for the damage they did to make it right. So it doesn't just do away with the consequences. Forgiveness doesn't mean we have to stay in an abusive situation. Forgiveness is a choice we make by faith in God. And it's a choice we make by faith, actually, in gratitude to God for his forgiveness for us. It's also a choice we make by faith because of our love for God. He loved us, we love him, and we want to do what he says, and it's expression of our love for one another. The Lord will help us. We've talked about resurrection power in the service this morning. We've sung about it. The Lord will help us, but we have to believe him. We have to believe to follow his example. If I won't believe him, then I cut the power off. Doesn't mean he's not available. Doesn't mean he won't help me. It just means I won't walk in it and live it out. So humility values others like the Lord. He loved us, valued us, and forgave us, and continues to forgive us. And as we walk in fellowship with him, we can have the grace to value and forgive others. Forgiveness heals and reconciles imperfect people. And none of us have arrived. I know it can be easy to hold unforgiveness, but that's one of the characteristics of the last days. People will be unforgiving. But the Lord wants us to follow the example of Jesus and to forgive others, to value others to the point of forgiveness, and just trust him. That's really what it comes back. It's like, all right, I'm going to release them to you. I'm not going to be the avenger. I'm not going to be the one to take justice into my own hands. I'll trust you and release them to you, Lord, because I believe you. And we can have the grace to forgive others. Humility values others to the point of forgiveness. Second, humility helps others. We forgive others, and then we help others. Psalms 22, verse 9. The Bible says this again, the Lord, if you think about him looking from the cross, but you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while I was on my mother's breast, for I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. Notice the several times there talking about in the womb and his mom. For you have been my God. Then he says in verse 11, be not far from me, for trouble is near and there is none to help. Be not far from me. When we're going through a hard time and we feel like maybe no one, you know, everybody's against us and everything's going wrong, don't you want to sense the closeness and presence of God with you? Be not far from me. When you're going through those moments, we want to know that God is at least with us and for us. But Jesus had no one to help him as he suffered and died on the cross for our sins. But even in the midst of pain, he helped others. Here's how that verse relates in the New Testament. In John chapter 19, we read these words. Again, Jesus speaking on the cross, and he sees his mom. John 19, 25. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, that was John, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. So Jesus made sure that his mother was cared for even after his departure. Now, we talk about helping others. God doesn't call us to help everyone with every need. But here's the issue. Are you willing? If you're willing, then we can pray and we can look for practical ways to help. And, you know, I think I've learned that it can also require humility to ask for help sometimes. Because maybe we feel like, I can do this on my own. And maybe we'll get in a situation. If you can, that's great. But maybe at times we go through things and we, you know, we need each other. And that's one of the ways I believe God keeps us connected. It gives us ministry opportunities. Say, hey, would you help me with this? And just being willing to ask for help sometimes can open that door of, again, just being humble, valuing people enough, just like Jesus, to forgive and to help. And then finally, I'll just give it to you and I'll read the verses to encourage. So the Lord values us. He humbled himself enough. He valued us to forgive us, to help us and encourage us. And he wants us to follow his example. Remember, let this mind have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. So he says this back in the book of Psalms, verse 24. Psalms 22, verse 24 says this, for he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried to him, he heard. God hears, the Lord hears the heart cries of anyone and everyone who turns to him in repentance and faith. Everyone. Then he says in verse 25, my praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. And then, I love this verse. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live how long? Let your heart live forever. So what did Jesus say from the cross that related to this? Luke 23:39. Luke 23:39. The Bible says that one of the criminals who was hung with Jesus blasphemed him and saying, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him and said, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, in other words, this is what we deserve. We are receiving the rewards of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Now think about this. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Here, think of the, do you sense the repentance in this man? Think of the faith. Here is a man that he may have looked like any other human, beaten to a pulp, almost unrecognizable, but yet he has the faith that he's not just dying for his sins, but he's going to come back to life from the dead because he says, Lord, will you remember me when you establish your kingdom, when you come into your reign? And then notice how Jesus encouraged him. He says this as we continue in that on that same verse 43. Then Jesus, he said, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Think of the comfort that this man, the encouragement this man could have received of eternal life, forgiveness, and that he was going to be with the Lord forever. Society, for whatever reason, through his criminal acts, had determined that he was not fit to live on earth. Jesus said, I'm going to make you fit for heaven. Humility values others to forgive, to help, and encourage. In the New Testament, the word for encourage is also translated comfort. So he comforted this man. Let me give you just two more references if you want to write them down. The last two references of how God encourages and comforts us and how we can encourage and comfort one another. The first one is Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans 15, 4. The Bible says this. Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience, and again, that word comfort, comfort also translated exhort, also translated encourage, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. One way that God comforts and encourages us and exhorts us to just carry on and to do his will is through his inspired word. That's one reason we don't want to distance ourselves and make it a closed book to us, because if we do, we're going to rob ourselves of the comfort and the encouragement and the strength that we could receive from the word of God. So he said we can be comforted, encouraged, built up through the word. And then finally in Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, we read these words. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. Same word, comforting one another, encouraging one another, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So the Lord wants us to receive comfort, receive encouragement, but then he also wants us to give comfort, give encouragement, give forgiveness, give help. Humility values others, and in the Christ-like humility, values to forgive, to help, and to encourage. As I've thought about this and prepared, maybe I think we can all relate to the forgiveness. We all need to humble ourselves, value each other to the point of forgiveness, and then help and encourage one another. We all have opportunities to receive and to give. Maybe this morning one of those stands out more to you for whatever's going on in your life, whatever you're experiencing, whatever the Lord may be leading you in right now. Now I want to just close with this, because by God's grace, we can do his will. We can choose. And I thought of Jesus, that psalm said, they pierced my hands and my feet. Do you know in the Old Testament, one man went into an area called the Holy of Holies one day a year. See, God has always wanted to be close to his people. And so he gave them a pattern. He said, I want you to build first a tent and then a building. And he said, there's a place where I'm going to meet you. I'm going to dwell among my people. And because sin separates us from God, he made a way for us to be close. And what he did was he allowed a sacrifice to be, because blood has to be shed. Death is the penalty for sin. So he said, I'll allow a sacrifice to be made in your place as a substitute, and I'll accept that sacrifice for now, but every sacrifice is going to point to the one who's coming, who's going to take away your sin completely. But one day a year, That high priest went into this place called the Holy of Holies behind this veil, a thick veil, and there was basically a container there called the Ark of the Covenant, and the law, the Ten Commandments were in there. But it had a lid called the mercy seat. And the priest would take the blood of the sacrifice on that one day a year, and he would sprinkle on it, because when I see the blood, he would have mercy because the price has been paid. But he didn't just sprinkle it once. You know how many times he sprinkled it? Seven times. I don't think that was an arbitrary number. And I know seven is completeness, and Jesus did a complete work. But do you know Jesus bled in seven places? When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, remember, he was under such stress and pressure as he thought about drinking the cup of God's wrath against everyone's sins, the sins of the world. And the Bible says it was like sweat and blood coming out of his pores. He bled there. Why? So he could free our will. Just like he said, not my will, yours be done. He freed our will that we can also choose to do God's will by his grace. And we can receive resurrection power. Can I give you those six real quick? I won't leave you hanging. Then they took him and they whipped him and beat him. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, Isaiah said. But in Matthew it says he's borne our sicknesses and carried our pains, because it both applies. He carried it all, and he was whipped, and by his stripes we are healed. Then the Bible says he was bruised for our iniquities. He bled on the inside. The word iniquities means like a tendency we have to sin. Jesus bled on the inside, that third place, so that we could be healed and forgiven and help develop new tendencies. Instead of just always falling back into the sin, I could start to develop new ways and following Jesus. Then they pierced my hands and my feet. Oh, wait, before we got to the cross, they put the crown of thorns on him. He bled from his head, his scalp, because isn't that where so many battles take place? Right in our thought. But he bled from his head so that we could have the mind of Christ and think thoughts of the Spirit. Then they pierced his hands so that what we do, we can do to the glory of God. And whatever we put our hands to can prosper for him. And they pierced his feet so that we can walk in the Spirit and that we can go where the Lord would have us to go and live that way. How many is that? Six? Six. All right, there's one more. He died. So that was it, right? But it wasn't seven. A Roman soldier was going to break his legs, but see, there was prophesied in Psalm 22 that no bones would be broken. So instead of breaking his legs, he was already dead, but he wanted to make sure. And with his trained eye, he took that spear point and stuck it right between the right ribs that needed to, and he shoved it up into his heart, lungs, and when he pulled it out, blood and water came out, because he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Humility values others. And you see, every drop of blood that he shed was doing something for us. He bled and died to offer us forgiveness, freedom, healing, and victory, and we can live to the glory of God by his grace. So this morning, I'd just like to close with this. I believe the key to the Christian life always comes back to staying in close fellowship with the Lord. Staying in close fellowship with him, trust in him. And this is how we grow more like him. It's how we grow closer to him. So this morning, I'll close with this before we close in prayer. Is the Lord speaking to you today about a specific area? How is he drawing you to himself? I'll say it that way. How is he drawing you to himself and to his will? What does he want to do in your life right now? Because obedience brings joy and blessing. He doesn't draw us and even convict us at times to hurt us. He draws us and convicts us to help us, so there's nothing between our heart and God's. Can we stand together as we just close in prayer right now? And I want to ask you just to search your own heart and just say, Lord, help me. What are you saying to me? What step do I need to take now, Lord, to live this out? And I'd like to just pray for you. Father, I just want to first of all thank you for loving me and giving yourself for me. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for what you did. And Lord, I pray that even right now, in the area of forgiveness, maybe, Lord, there's some who they're hurt. And maybe there's some hardness even. I just pray that you would you just allow your grace and love to soften those areas and help us just to trust you. I thank you, Lord, that with you there are new beginnings and there is forgiveness and there is healing. And I pray, Lord, maybe just the help that we may need, maybe that we may need to give. And Lord, we all need encouragement at times, you know that, and comfort. And I thank you that you offer it. Thank you for your words to us. And thank you for your spirit. So help us just to be more mindful. Lord, we all fall short at times. So I pray that you would just draw us to yourself. Help us to have just a repentant heart. Lord, to have that lifestyle, but also a lifestyle of faith and trust that we'll receive your forgiveness, we'll receive your victory, we'll receive your grace, and we'll walk in newness of life daily to the glory of God. Before we sing this little